In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone, and welcome to the late edition of RIN in English News with me, Nima Chitsas. Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has reappointed three Islamic jurist members of Iran's Guardian Council. The leader also appointed a new jurist to the legislative and electoral supervisory body. In a decree issued on Tuesday, the leader cited Article 91 of Iran's constitution to reappoint Islamic jurist members Ayatollah Muhammad Momen, Ayatollah Muhammad Yazdi, and Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Hashemi Shahroudi to another six-year term in the body. In a separate decree, Ayatollah Khamenei appointed Hujjatul Islam Mehdi Shabzandedar as a new Islamic jurist of the body, replacing recently deceased member of the council, Ayatollah Ghulam Reza Rezvani. The leader further wished the appointees well during their new tenures. According to the Iranian Constitution, the Guardian Council, a 12-member body consisting of six legal experts and six Islamic jurists, is tasked with vetting legislative and presidential candidates, supervising elections, and overseeing the bills passed in the nation's Majlis for conformity with Islamic principles. Earlier this week, Iran's Majlis elected three legal experts to a new six-year term in the Guardian Council. Iran's president-elect says Iranian and Syrian nations are determined to counter regional enemies, particularly the Zionist regime. In response to Syrian president's congratulatory message, Hassan Rouhani said, "Deep and long-standing relations between Iran and Syria indicate the two nations' determination for broad cooperation in various political and economic sectors." Rouhani further said, "Such quality of relations have also made the two countries to counter plots hatched by enemies of the nations in the region, particularly the Zionist regime." He expressed confidence that the great and resistant people of Syria will leave behind the ongoing situation and succeed in preserving their independence and territorial integrity. Meantime, in separate messages to the Secretary General of Lebanon's Hezbollah, Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah, and Pakistani President Asif Ali Zardari, President-elect Rouhani stressed Iran's support for Lebanon and Palestine, as well as expansion of ties with Islamabad. Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad unveiled five major ingredients for constructing recombinant drugs. These materials are used in the construction of a recombinant form of the drug, which is the key and major element in fighting cancer. The second drug produced by Iranian experts is going to be used as a non-injection anti-MS drug. The third drug will be used in heart diseases. The fourth drug is against analgesic and anesthetic, effective 250 times more than morphine. The last and the fifth drug is prescribed to treat urinary problems. During the same day, President Ahmadinejad visited different sections of an earth science research center in the provincial capital city of Karaj in Alborz province. During his inspection tour, the president was briefed on activities of the center by the body's officials and experts. Egyptian interim president Adli Mansour sworn in the country's first government since the military ouster of former president Mohamed Morsi 2 weeks ago. Liberal economist Hazem El Beblawi took his oath before army-appointed interim president to head the interim cabinet as new prime minister. In the interim government, chief of the armed forces General Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, who led Morsi's removal from office, holds the post of first deputy prime minister while retaining his defense portfolio. Meanwhile, Egypt's public prosecutor has ordered the arrest of seven Muslim Brotherhood leaders. The arrest order was issued over alleged charges of inciting violence between the supporters and opponents of the Muslim Brotherhood in the days before and after Morsi was ousted as president of Egypt. Elsewhere, at least seven people have been killed in overnight clashes between Egyptian security forces and the supporters of the deposed president. The violence broke out in Cairo and the neighboring city of Giza. Over 260 people were reportedly wounded in the clashes that continued until the early morning hours of Tuesday in four different locations in Cairo. Meanwhile, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon called for reconciliation in Egypt amid nationwide protests. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman says the potential establishment of relations between Tehran and Washington requires serious changes in U.S. policies and approaches. Abbas Araghchi said, "Nice words and pleasing statements alone do not suffice, but what constitutes the criterion for Tehran to change its views of the interaction with the U.S. is the United States' actual behavior." The Iranian official further said Iran is awaiting practical measures and serious changes in policies as well as adoption of new approaches by the U.S. Araghchi also described as a positive matter the willingness of many countries, including Western and European ones, to hold talks with Iran. Commenting on the recent remarks by former British Foreign Secretary Jack Straw regarding his willingness to travel to Iran to help restore Tehran-London ties, Araghchi said, "Mr. Straw has not submitted an official request, but since Iranians are famous for hospitality, we would be glad to receive anyone interested in traveling to Iran." Commenting on the ongoing crisis in Egypt, Araghchi said, "Iran's foreign ministry is holding talk with regional officials with regard to the matter." He further said that Ali Akbar Salehi held useful talks with the former Egyptian foreign minister as well as interim vice president Mohammed al-Baradei. Remarking on the proposed Geneva talks over the crisis in Syria, Araghchi reiterated that no decision has yet been adopted on the date, agenda, and participants of the conference, and serious differences remain between the parties involved. He added, however, if the Islamic Republic gets invited to the summit, it will play a constructive role. UN officials said around 5,000 people a month are dying in the Syrian war, which has created the worst refugee crisis since the 1994 Rwandan genocide. A host of top officials expressed concern over the issue, calling on other bodies to take proper action to deal with the fallout from the 26-month-old civil war, in which the UN says up to 100,000 people have died. The UN said nearly 1.8 million people are now registered with the UN in countries around Syria. Meanwhile, UN humanitarian chief said the international community may have to consider cross-border operations to get aid into Syria. Valeria Moss said 4 million people inside Syria need assistance and considerable restraints have been imposed on aid agencies by conflicting sides. A bomb explosion has left at least 2 civilians dead and 3 others wounded in Jalalabad, the capital city of the eastern province of Nangarhar in eastern Afghanistan. The incident occurred after a bicycle bomb went off. The 2 dead men were from Afghan intelligence agency and National Army. No group has claimed responsibility for the deadly incident, but the statement blamed the Taliban group for the bomb attack. Improvised explosive devices, including roadside bombs, are by far the most lethal weapons the Taliban militants use against Afghan forces, foreign troops, and civilians. At least 6 people have been injured in an explosion in Turkey's Diyarbakir, the main city in the country's Kurdish-dominated southeast. The injured were transferred to a nearby hospital, as local police launched an investigation into the incident. The motive behind the attack remains unknown, and no group has yet claimed responsibility for the incident. Turkish officials usually blame militants of the Kurdistan Workers' Party, or PKK, for such attacks. This is while Turkish army entered into a truce with PKK leader Abdullah Öcalan back in March 2013, halting a 28-year armed struggle between the two sides. More than half of Arab citizens of Israel support the call by a member of the Zionist regime parliament, or Knesset, for an intifada in occupied territories in protest to the planned relocation of Bedouins living in the southern desert of Negev. According to a phone survey conducted on June 18 to 20 by Haifa University on 1,504 Israeli Arab adults, 58% of the respondents said they throw their weight behind an intifada. 41% of those surveyed said they are opposed to the call, while 1% had no idea. The opinion poll also found that 63% of Israeli Arabs support Iran's nuclear energy program, while 35% oppose, with 2% having no idea. The EU Commission said Zionist settlements in Palestinian-occupied territories are illegal. EU Commission spokesperson added that the European Union position is non-recognition of Israel's sovereignty, over the occupied Palestinian territories.
Long-running, long-standing EU position that Israeli settlements are illegal under international law, and also with the position that I already mentioned, with the non-recognition by the European Union of Israeli sovereignty over the occupied territories.
Meantime, the Zionist regime is angered by the EU's new directive that bans dealing with Israeli settlements built beyond 1967 borders. Israel's deputy foreign minister said the EU decision was very significant and worrying. Meanwhile, Palestinian officials welcomed the EU position on the issue.
It's a very good statement. That's what we were expecting from Europe, at least for those who voted for Palestine on the 29th of November last year. Now we are a state. This is the normal and right thing to be done. From Europe, from everybody, including the others. And we hope that many countries will follow suit.
An international piracy AP monitoring agency reports that pirate attacks are surging in West African Gulf of Guinea, as fully armed pirates are seeking to widen their area of operations. Report said pirates are also implementing new strategies in a worrying surge, raids, killing, kidnap, and armed robberies in oil-rich Gulf of Guinea. According to the London-based International Maritime Bureau, piracy snowballed in the Gulf of Guinea, overtaking Somalia as the world's new hotspot. The report stated that pirates inflicted at least 31 actual and attempted attacks on the Gulf of Guinea this year, including 4 ships hijacked. This is while Nigeria suffered 22 attacks, while Somalia had 4 attacks, as 125 reported in 2012, and Indonesia 48 attacks so far this year. Members of Greece's opposition Syriza party abandoned the plenary session and joined tens of thousands of Greek workers protesting in central Athens. Workers walked off the job and gathered outside parliament in a noisy protest against the government's plan to fire public sector employees to appease foreign lenders. The 24-hour general strike against a new scheme to transfer or fire state workers came a day before Greece's parliament vote on a multi-front bill with a series of reforms that must be passed before the EU and IMF can give more financial aid. Over 40,000 demonstrators, including municipal police and teachers targeted in the layoff scheme, gathered in the central square before parliament in one of the biggest anti-austerity protests in Greece this year.
Our message is a message of a struggle and of unity. This disastrous government must go. The country needs to breathe.
With these measures, no one can anymore guarantee workers' rights, welfare, or the hard-won rights of citizens. Most of these measures were introduced coercively by the Troika in order for Greece to receive the latest tranche of aid, and this proves the government's inability to negotiate anything successfully.
Germany's investor confidence index has dropped following economic tensions and the crisis at the Eurozone and a global slowdown hitting exports. Fresh figures released by the German-based Center for European Economic Research showed an unexpected drop in investor confidence, reflecting the debt-stricken Eurozone's poor industrial production and low export data. The investors' economic outlook for the second half of this year has declined more than 2 points to 36.3 points in July, revising analysts' predictions of an increase to up to 40 points. Funding most bailouts for the debt crisis-hit countries in the Eurozone, Germany has been the backbone of the 17-country economic bloc. However, analysts warn that Germany may falter under the pressure of the impending Eurozone debt crisis. And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of IRI and in English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now. We'll